Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, are you ready to do today's episode?
Just give me a few minutes, Jim.
Why? What do you have to do?
I have to go out for a bit and run these jewels to a guy.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, anything going on with you, Patrick? What's happening?
Just kind of trying to settle into the post-holiday period. You know, it's always a little challenging. I got some really fun stuff that I can spend time with. I got a really cool indoor hydroponic garden that I'm really enjoying. So I love to grow vegetables and stuff and plants, and it's fun to have something in the wintertime to do that with. So it's really cool. And I got a soda stream. So I've been drinking a lot of seltzer. Yeah, just making all kinds of seltzer, all kinds of little flavors in there, mostly beer, and enjoying that.
I'll check back in with you on that later. Okay. Because my wife wanted the soda stream, and then I just wasn't sure how long those cartridges last and how expensive that was going to be and everything. So you can be my guinea pig, and you can tell me if this is really a better deal than just going out and buying
the cans. Yeah, that's what we've been doing. And I mean, so far it's great. I mean, but like you said, that is the key. It's like the propane tank for your gas grill. You see how long it lasts and how much you use it. But this, been using it every day, several times a day. So we'll see. So far, it's great. It was wonderful this year to have the offspring give me some cool gifts.
That's nice. That's very nice.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Okay. So where are we here? We're going to do more 2020 favorites from the listeners. All right? Three. Oh, here's Shadow, by the way. Hey, Shadow.
Oh, Shadow. I miss Shadow desperately. He's not even going to know who I am.
He's got the very end of a bone, like one of those bones, you know?
Oh, that he loves to chew. Shadow, how are you doing, my boy?
There he goes.
I don't remember that guy. We had a strong bond forming
the
there.
The funny thing, people who have dogs will relate to this, but like there's like two kinds of bones you can buy essentially at the pet store or your supermarket. You can get the kind that they can sort of like eat all in one sitting.
Yep.
Right? Those are the more like easily digestible ones. Yep. You know, and then every once in a while, we don't do this very often because I think they are harder to digest. You get those rawhide ones that last, for a few days, right?
Chew them for a long time. Yeah.
But what's so funny about that is they know they can't finish it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite the like stressful thing of like where they're going to put it in the house.
Yeah.
You ever have this happen with your dogs, right?
Oh yeah, totally.
They have to find a good hiding spot so nobody takes their bone, right? Even though we're a one dog household, there's no threat of anybody taking this bone, but he doesn't know that. In his mind.
No, that's right. He's got to protect it.
That's right. And so he'll wander around the house looking for a good hiding spot, you know.
When he's got his quote.
That's what he was just doing. Yeah.
That's great.
Yes. And then sometimes they move it, you know, it's like, no, that spot's no good.
Too obvious.
I gotta move it over here. Yeah. It's really funny. And then you find it someplace under something.
Right.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta sit down. What the heck's under this cushion?
That's right. All right. So the show, we're going to talk about music. The show is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And let's get to the first call of the day.
Hello, Suburbs Pod family. As Patrick would say, this is The Coop. And I'm calling for my favorite album of 2020. I'd like to thank Jim and Patrick for narrowing it down and only asking for one album because I probably could have filled a week of shows. There's probably 25 albums in my favorite albums of the year, but I've narrowed it down. I will say this has been a very eclectic music year for me. My top three albums were bluegrass, punk, and rap of all things. Those are completely different genres, but my favorite album of the year is Run the Jewels, RTJ4. It was just, it's so great. The beats are great. The lyrics are so dense and the hooks dig in deep. It's a great album from start to finish. I think I may have mentioned this at the mid-year episode, but I was down on their second and third album, but RTJ4, I really think they're back to form. This year takes the top spot for me. So interested to see if anyone else out there heard this album and liked it as well. Thank you for everything you do and keep rocking the suburbs. Bye.
All right, Run the Jewels. Thanks, Coop. So I think we talked about this album a little bit last year.
A little bit, yeah.
RTJ4. It's gotten a lot of attention. I think it's made a lot of best of lists, and so on. And He didn't mention a specific song.
Right. Sounds like he digs all of it from start to finish. So
have you listened to this much?
I've listened to it a couple times. Actually, I hadn't done so until it was Coop that mentioned it, I believe, on Best of the Year so far or whatever it was. And when I was out in Louisville and got to hang out with Coop for a while and just talk to him a little, you know, deeper about music and stuff, it's amazing how eclectic his taste is. You know, as he said there, bluegrass, punk, and rap.
Yeah,
but
totally.
He listens to a lot of stuff, and it's very impressive. And he's got a really wide range of music, too, and, you know, knows a lot about instruments and stuff, too, from his time working in sort of the retail industry. So that's a really high recommendation for me. And so I really liked it. I mean, they are one of the preeminent mainstream, you know, and when I say mainstream, I mean, they move units. They sell a lot of records. You know, they are right up there with just about anybody you could name right now in this genre. I mean, it's like, when they put an album out, it's a major event.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm sorry. I'm just laughing and looking at one of the song titles. I just looked it up and we have played two songs off this album.
Hmm.
Last year we played Ooh La La and we played Goonies versus E.T.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you the song I want to hear.
Okay.
Because again, I just look at the song titles and go, what makes sense when we're reflecting back on 2020?
Right.
And there's a song called Holy Calama.
There it is.
All right, here we go.
Render the pyrotechnocrats, the old razzle dazzlers, the magic bean imbibers, the green giant of the rhyme contrivers, supreme violence of the time describers. I'm the decider, you evil eyes, a pile driver provided for liars. The sleep deprived, the nick of time, mercy killed the nine and prime. I killed a mood of a rudeness for Guyver, a slap a yapper from the acne to the tooth bone fiber. I'm liver. Dark crime designer, criminal minder, and I'm a born and bred of Uso who chopped and screwed truth up. Think I got a case of the Mondays on
fire. All right, that's pretty cool.
Great stuff. Yeah, love Killer Mike's rhymes and his vocals are amazing. And yeah, they're very, very authoritative. And, you know, I think in the tradition of great hip hop duos, right, from Run DMC all the way down, you know, there's a lot that they build on there.
Totally agree. Okay. Now, Coop did mention you wanted to see if anybody else talked about this album. So that relates to our next caller here.
Mm. Hello, this is Scott Eisen from Raymore, Missouri, the Ice Poet. Hello, Jim and Patrick and the Suburbs Pod family. I'm calling in with my best of 2020. I've been fascinated by aesthetics and wrote numerous papers on what quality is. Is great art identifiable and why and how so? I spent years studying 19th and 20th century art and instantly know when I see great art. I could not identify what it was about a work that would instantly lead me to identify it as great. When asked why, I could point out how line, composition, color, and form or whatever made it great. Still, the greatest or best is another matter. I've concluded context and places history are more important than innate quality. The Venus of Willendorf is considered great because it survived. Jackson Pollock is considered greater than Thomas Hart Benton because all subsequent modern art derives from his, not Benton's. The same is true when it comes to music. A large part of modern popular art looks back, and modern popular music looks back to Rubber Soul and Revolver, whereas little looks back toward Trout Mask Replica. Also, those of us who have listened to music closely over the years can identify quality. Picking which one is best is a stiffer assignment. Nevertheless, I struggled with picking last year's best album. I changed my choice daily and sometimes hourly, so I'm calling mine in before I change again. I found many works which met my standards as great albums. Initially made a short list of three best candidates. Run the Jewels, Bob Dylan, Fiona Apple, and changed my mind beyond even that. I went from Springsteen, Fleet Foxes, and back to Run the Jewels. Finally, I made a new short list of two based on which hit deeper than good, which evoked emotions pertinent to 2020 and beyond. My finalists were Run the Jewels and Steve Earle. Run the Jewels 4 is the album of 2020. The issues of racism or the ongoing social issues has finally become forefront again. Run the Jewels 4 is the best artistic document of Black Lives Matter, the protest, and the unresolved and continued racism. Ghost West Virginia looks at environmental racism with the backdrop of the West Virginia coal mines. Of generations of work in the coal mines dreaming of financial independence when the company sacrificed the workers' health and even lives for their profits. Earl looks at the issue of environmental racism, which overlaps and encompasses racism. The issues of the album hit me deeply and to me speak universally to the next few decades. That is why Ghost of West Virginia is my album of 2020. Thank you, and may 2021 be better, but the music just as good. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Scott. I got to say, kudos. That's the first time Thomas Hart Benton has been mentioned on our podcast, to the best of my knowledge. And that's a cool reference, and it makes a lot of sense. And I think we may have talked briefly about this album. I think I picked one for my new music of the month at one point. I'll have to check. But
yes, you did.
Okay. Yeah, really, really great. I could not say it any better. And, you know, I think, too, going back to RTJ, you know, the undercurrent of everything else that happened on top of the pandemic in 2020 with Black Lives Matter, the protests and all those things just fed into that amazing work of art and, you know, the way they created that. So well said. I got to go back and listen to that again. But he was dropping a lot of good knowledge there. That was really well done.
So, yeah, again, another listener with eclectic tastes, right?
I mean, absolutely.
If he's working and working and narrowing this down, and he gets down to a pretty intense hip hop album and then this like alt country sort of musical, right? Concept right. album, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
yep.
You know, I don't know that too many people would go crate digging for both of those, but we think it's great. So, you know, hats off
amazing.
To you, Scott.
Yeah. Listeners are, always will be, and have been smarter than we are. So yes. It's great.
Now, may have been a little hard to discern there. He really sounded like he named both of those his album of the year.
Kind of, yeah.
But since we already touched on Run the Jewels, let's talk about the Steve Earle album a little bit
more,
that sounds right?
Great.
So you talked about this earlier. I'm looking at it right now. It was back in June.
Uh-huh.
And you talked about the album Ghost of West Virginia, and you played Union, God, and Country was
right.
the song, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we could play something else here. But, you know, Steve Earle, this album is really good, and like I said, I think it actually was written to be like a stage musical or something.
Yeah,
it was
something like that.
A concept album.
Yeah.
That sort of tells a story, and you know, and Scott said it really well. It's about capitalism and the environment and exploitation of the workers and all of that kind of stuff,
yep.
right? But I think unfortunately, it kind of got overshadowed later in the year when Justin Towns Earl died, and then Steve yep. Earle released a cover album of Justin's mm-hmm. music, and you know, I think unfortunately, like. This album kind of got forgotten a bit, you know, so it's nice
right.
to revisit it now.
Absolutely. That's really a great point, Jim. For whatever reason, you know, nothing Steve Earle has ever done in his career in life ends up being, you know, simple and straightforward.
Right.
There's always turbulence. There seems like it happens around it, but it's powerful turbulence, and his commitment to his art is amazing. And this really is a wonderful kind of concept album, as you said, song cycle. And, you know, Scott put it really, really well about the environmental aspects as well as the people that were exploited and, you know, basically didn't have a choice really
right.
in what they did. So it's a wonderful, you know, thing. You can learn a lot from it as well as being beautiful music.
Okay. So let's play a song here from Ghost of West Virginia. I think the obvious choice here is Devil Put the Coal in the Ground.
Yeah.
Well, the devil put the coal in the ground. Devil put the coal in the ground. They buried it deep, it'll never be found. Devil put the coal in the ground. Say, that'll be a diamond someday. That'll be a diamond someday. You belong gone and dead in a way. That'll be a diamond someday. Well, the devil put the coal in the ground. Devil put the coal in the ground. Said the devil all day, get the fire man down. Devil put the coal in the ground.
Very nice.
beautiful stuff. Yeah, I haven't listened to that in several months, but it, you know, vividly brings back the fact that they're almost in some ways like work songs, right? You could hear people in the fields even singing them the way they're structured and the way the melodies are. And it also does a great job of blending modern production with traditional instruments without making anything sound
right
hokey or glossy or anything. It sounds very real.
Totally agree. Okay. All right, one more call today. I believe this is a new caller to the show.
Hey, this is Rob Brown calling from Clearwater, Florida. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Listen to you guys since the old podcast. I wanted to put in my best of 2020. I'm going to go with best song, Dying to Bleed by The Best. Been a fan since their last album, but I think this song is the best thing they've done. It's a great pop song for driving. Best album, I'm going to give to Pine Grove, the album Marigold. If you'll give her a track off that, The Alarmist is great. That whole album is wonderful. And really, I think, fit the mood of 2020. So here's to 2021. Keep rocking the suburbs.
All right, that's Rob Brown.
Thanks, Rob. Now, great to hear from you.
Yeah, wonderful. And I wonder, you know, Rob, kind of, what took you so long, man? You say you've been listening to this thing since the old show. That's been a while. So, you know, we appreciate it. But, you know,
absolutely.
Join in, man. Join in a little bit more.
Yeah, great to hear from you in Clearwater, Florida. Very cool. And we'll make sure to get you that year in mix CD, you know, several months late. And hopefully you enjoy it.
But this time it won't be our fault. It'll be the post office. We can blame
that. That's right. Yeah.
I want to say one thing about Clearwater, a little bit of Suburbs Pod trivia here. My wife, Katie, that's where she grew up, Clearwater, Florida.
No way. Yep. Get out of town. That's cool.
She was born in upstate New York and lived for a time in the Buffalo area. But then when she was maybe around late elementary school or middle school, somewhere in that time, the family moved down to Clearwater. And so that's, when I say grew up, I kind of consider like where you went to high school is really like the place where you're from to a large extent. So that's what we consider Clearwater to a large extent be her hometown. So there you go.
Very cool. Kind of in the middle of the state, I believe, isn't it?
No, it's over by Tampa.
Oh, is it?
Okay. It's on the beach.
Oh, beautiful.
It always makes me quite envious, the fact that, you know, she spent her high school years on, you know, the Gulf Coast. And, you know, and I was, you know, over by Lake Erie.
That's right. Quite a
difference. Not exactly the same.
No.
Okay. Let's first talk about the album, I think. That was Pine Grove.
Uh-huh.
The album is Marigold. And I don't know that we've talked much about Pine Grove. Pretty interesting band.
Yeah, very interesting. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, good sort of like indie band, right? And
totally.
Yeah. The song Rob mentioned is The Alarmist.
Marigold in the garden. My heart is out in the garbage. I am an alarmist. As far
wonderful song. Evan Stevens Hall, the leader and singer and main composer for Pine Grove, has a very distinctive voice. It's to me, it just oozes expressiveness, and it kind of you know, lands somewhere between Sufjan Stevens and you know, Nick Drake and Bright Eyes and
I was thinking, you know, of Conor Oberst. Yep.
Yeah, and stuff like that. And it's wonderful. Really, really is. I love their 2016 album that was called Cardinal. That's when I got into the band. Although I gotta say, I didn't spend a ton of time with this new one, and that was lovely. So I gotta thank Rob for that. I'm gonna go back and reevaluate that record. It's kind of one of those ones you sort of note, and then you listen to it maybe once, and you're like, for some reason, it just kind of slips away from you. Not because it's not really good. So I definitely want to go back and check it out. So thanks, Rob.
Excellent. And then the song of the year he mentioned is Dying to Believe by The Best, right, which I think we've played more than once on the show.
Preaching to the choir on this one. It's
great.
We
are definitely in love with that band, and that song is killer. Yep. So, in fact, I think I even put it on the Suburbs Pod 1000. That's how highly I thought of that song, and it just came out this past year. So
amazing.
It's great. And I mean, it might have been my song of the year, but you've picked it, so I'll do something else, right?
Well, that's it. We get the advantage of listening to everyone else's picks before we make ours. And I'm so glad I discovered the best and brought them to the attention of our community. It wasn't anyone
that was you?
Else named Nick Scalera. Yeah. No, it was totally me. Yeah. I'm really the one. It wasn't Nick Scalera or anything like that. So, kidding, of course, but it's been amazing to have a New Zealand music enthusiast of Nick's intelligence, and gosh, what an amazing find. And just remember that wonderful show we saw at the Songbird in D.C. when everyone was there. That was a blast. Barrett Reiss was even there. It was fantastic.
That's so, right. And we interviewed the Beths.
We did.
Back in July 23rd and 24th.
Yep.
Listen to that interview with the Beths. It was really fun. They were great people. And
oh, great.
Super interesting and entertaining. So
totally, totally great.
All right. Yep. So we'll play out with that song. That's a great way to end the show. And what do we got? A couple more days left this week. We'll get to more listener favorites of 2020. All right.
Sounds good. I'm enjoying it.
All right. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And earlier you saw Shadow. And he's left to go hide his bow. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'm not sure. I think he might have, but I can't remember what it was.